Good morning. Welcome to our Christmas Eve multi-celebration day, the first of three services today. We're glad to be together worshiping and celebrating as we look on to the coming of Christ in the future, as well as we remember how he came that first time at Christmas where God took on flesh and dwelt among us. Might just stand as we begin our service. We begin our service as we always do, remembering who it is that we belong to, being claimed in the waters of baptism. So we begin in the name of the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen. We pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you that you know us, that you know us so well. In fact, not only did you make us, but also you know what it is to be human. And today we celebrate that, the way in which you fully understand exactly what we're going through, and yet you pour out into us all that we need. And so this day we celebrate all that you do for us. In Jesus' name, amen. If we say we have no sin, we deceive ourselves and the truth is not in us. But if we confess our sins, God, who is faithful and just, will forgive our sins and cleanse us from all unrighteousness. Let us then confess our sins to God our Father. Most merciful God, we confess that we are by nature sinful and unclean. We have sinned against you in thought, word, and deed, by what we have done and by what we have left undone. We have not loved you with our whole heart. We have not loved our neighbors as ourselves. We justly deserve your present and eternal punishment. For the sake of your Son, Jesus Christ, have mercy upon us. Forgive us, renew us, and lead us, so that we may delight in your will and walk in your ways, to the glory of your holy name. Amen. Almighty God, in his mercy, has given his Son to die for you, and for his sake forgives you all your sins. As a called and ordained servant of Christ, and by his authority, I therefore forgive you all your sins. In the name of the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen.
Mountains in reply. Good morning. Merry Christmas Eve. The first scripture reading is from Hebrews chapter 4, verse 14 to 16. Therefore, since we have a great priest who has ascended into heaven, Jesus, the Son of God, let us hold firmly to the faith we profess. For we do not have a high priest who is unable to empathize with our weaknesses, but we have one who has been tempted in every way, just as we are, yet he did not sin. Let us then approach God's throne of grace with confidence, so that we may receive mercy and find grace to help us in our time of need. This is the word of the Lord.
Our sermon scripture reading for today is from Luke chapter 2. So Joseph also went up from the town of Nazareth in Galilee to Judea, to Bethlehem, the town of David, because he belonged to the house and line of David. He went there to register with Mary, who was pledged to be married to him and was expecting a child. While they were there, the time came for the baby to be born, and she gave birth to her firstborn, a son. She wrapped him in clothes and placed him in a manger, because there was no guest room available for them. And this time I invite the children forward for a children's message.
So, all of these pretty flowers are here. I think what I'd like everybody to do, could you go ahead and sit by like Lily and Liana? Let's go down past the flowers. Oscar, can you lead the way? That way no one falls in the poinsettias. Goodness, keep walking this way. Oh, Sawyer, come on over. Well, we can all see this is an exciting day. It is so good to be with you guys today, because what is finally here? It's Christmas Eve. It's a day we get to celebrate Jesus being born. It's like a big birthday party. Did you notice there's some things out for a birthday party? Yeah. What kind of things do you see at a birthday party when you go to a birthday party? There'll be cake, decorations, probably some presents, and you sing a special song. Good job, you made it. That was like a maze, wasn't it? Christmas is the same way, isn't it? We have some special food. Have any of you guys been doing some baking? Maybe? Yep. Are there presents? Yep, there's presents. That's very fun. Is there singing? There's a lot of special songs at Christmas. Well, isn't it amazing that God had a perfect plan? He sent a baby named Jesus. Say it again. Jesus. I heard Sawyer. Jesus. Baby Jesus, right? And who were Jesus's parents? Mary and Joseph, just the way God wanted it to be. And when Jesus was born, what did they place him in? A manger. God had a perfect plan. Did Jesus come into the world in a fancy way? No, he was in a stable, right? Because there was no room for him anywhere else. And then he grew up to be a perfect boy and a man, and he served, and he was a perfect example for how to live. And I think that's a pretty good gift that we have at Christmas. And so, do you know, I'm sure many of you have gifts to give this Christmas. Have any of you wrapped or helped, or maybe you'll give some gifts to other people later? Well, I wanted you to know, if you see your grandma and grandpa, who will see grandma and grandpa today? Or maybe a cousin or a family member. Do you know you have another gift that you can share with them besides one that you bought with money? You can share the gift of the good news that Jesus is born, right? And what did Jesus do for us? He grew up. What did he do? He died on the cross. So this Christmas, that is why we celebrate Christmas, is Jesus. You can remind your family members that God always loves them, no matter what. Whether you have good days or bad days, God always loves them, right? Thank you. Thank you. Oh, yeah. God is always here with you. He's always with you. And God forgives you. So that is a wonderful message and present that we can share with our family this Christmas. Can you say, happy birthday, Jesus? to Jesus. Very good. And Merry Christmas. And let's pray. And you were excellent listeners because I know you have to be very excited today, right? Dear Jesus, we thank you so much for being born, for being a perfect example for us here on this earth. And we are so excited that we get to celebrate your birth today. Please be with us today to share the good news of you being born, of you dying and rising again with everyone that we meet on this Christmas celebration. In your name we pray, and all God's children said, amen. Oscar, could you grab me that Christmas bag? I did bring you a little present. Is that okay? I have a little present for you. If you're coming to Little Worship, you're going to come with me, actually. So I will meet you in the lobby. If you're visiting today and you've never done Little Worship, it's just a little time. We have a special service, a little during the message, a little children's time. So they're welcome to join us in the lobby, and we'll head that way. So you guys can grab. I got you a little bear that says Jesus. It has a little story of the candy cane and a devotion book. So if you want to come grab one of each of these, and then you can go bring them to your parents. Bear and a book. And then I'll meet you in the lobby if you're coming to Little Worship. Thank you.
Perfect.
Grace, mercy, and peace to you from God our Father and from our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Amen. How does your God relate to people? Now, how does your God relate to you? As we reflect on those questions today, I want us to first consider what we would call false gods and how they've been worshipped throughout the years in the course of time and the relationship that these so-called false gods had with people. Looking back at the histories, it would appear to me that the rise of many false gods grew out of a desire to have a sense of control amidst fear. It would make sense in an ancient agrarian culture where things of importance were the abundance of crops and the abundance of descendants to be free labor to work in the fields, that the people would begin to worship a fertility god, an entity that they believed would bless their efforts in their desire for multiplication. And of course, in addition to the fear that crops weren't going to grow as they needed to, there was also the fear of storms coming and wiping out large parts of the crops. And so there was the rise in believing in a god who can control the weather. Thus, the perception was that there were gods who could improve the lives of these farmers. All one had to do was worship them properly, often with the necessary sacrifice. In pleasing the so-called god, the farmer would have a hope and confidence that his crops would grow well and that the weather would not damage them. Of course, in the event that there was an issue, there were priests to each god who knew better rituals and better sacrifices. They were more certain to please these gods. Thus, the relationship between gods and the people was one of control amidst a sense of chaos. The farmers knew what they wanted to occur, and they knew that they couldn't control every element themselves. So they sought higher powers that they believed had the power to allow them to have their desire realized. Now, as societies grew, so did their recognition of other aspects in the world that were outside of the control of man. This, of course, leads to more fears. How do we grow as a society? Do we know the reason that we are here? What are we supposed to do when someone dies? How do we pass knowledge on to future generations? I imagine that these were some of the fears that led to the rise of the gods of the ancient Egyptians. These were entities ascribed with controlling life and death, strength, evil, and even funeral rites. These gods served as a way of understanding how things came to be and how this life is structured. These gods provided for the people a sense of order, the belief that some entity greater than you has established the proper way to do things. And the relationship between the gods and the people was still somewhat distant, however. Long before the people were born, the gods ordained what was to be. And the people who were significantly lower were led to either follow or die. Then there's the pantheon of the Greek and Roman gods. Imagine anything that you wanted to do, and there was probably a god for that. Want to succeed at war? There's a god for that. Want to write a song? There's a god for that, too. If you foolishly wanted to drink wine from sunup to, well, Son up. Have they got the God for you? And of course, don't forget to worship the king of the gods with some frequency as well. These gods were depicted like a soap opera. And while there was a strict hierarchy of things, it was believed to be common for gods on the same rung to jockey for position. So they would trick each other, harm the followers of another god, or all too often cause trouble for a deity the next rung up while trying to play off like somebody else had caused that particular calamity. These gods were believed to be jealous and vengeful. Yet all too often it was the humans and not the gods who suffered the most because of the wrath of the gods. Not only did humanity suffer for the wrath of the gods, but it was very common for a god to be seen in the appearance of a human, all for the sake of satisfying that god's own desires, often at the expense of actual humans. And while this might sound more chaotic rather than providing control, it actually served as a means of human control. By giving an explanation for everything that occurred and how an individual could better his or her situation. Oh no, lightning struck my house and burned it down. I better offer a sacrifice to Zeus because he's clearly angry with me. Oh, and to Hestia so that my house gets built quickly. And just for good measure, I'm going to offer a sacrifice to Athena for protection. The gods related to every aspect of life. And since the gods were known to be fickle, it was best to do everything that you could to appease them, always. That was supposedly how to have a successful life. But what about you? What about your God? How is it that your God is said to relate to people? Well, once, in royal David's city, stood a lowly cattle shed, where a mother laid her baby in a manger for his bed. He came down to earth from heaven, who is God and Lord of all, and his shelter was a stable and his cradle was a stall. With the poor and mean and lowly lived on earth our Savior holy. You see, our God did the unexpected thing. He came to earth in humility and frailty. What human on earth would conceive of the scenario for God that he or she would worship? Possibly a person might think of a God being born to a queen. This would certainly better set up that God's authority to rule. But to be born to a common girl, born where the animals lived, to be laid in a feeding trough, who would sign up to serve that God? If this was all that you knew, it certainly wouldn't make a person feel a sense of control amidst fear. When mankind prefers gods who help with fertility and weather, who give a sense of order and control of everything, why would anyone desire a God who comes to us in helplessness? But let us not miss the beauty of what our God has done. It is true that our God, who created all that we know, the earth, everything in it, time, life, and breath, he has control over all things. And this same God does invite us to turn to him in our times of need. But our God is so much more than just an entity to be appeased in order to succeed in this life. We have a God who desires to close the gap between God and his creation. To have a true relationship with the people that he created. He knew that no matter how good a person was, they could never climb the ladder up to him. And so he sent Jesus to be born in a lowly way. Jesus became human. Not like the Greek and the Roman gods who came only in the appearance of man and always at man's expense. No, Jesus was truly man, and he came not to be served, but to serve, and to give his life as a ransom for many. Hebrews chapter 4 describes it in this way. Since then we have a great high priest who has passed through the heavens, Jesus, the Son of God. Let us hold fast our confession. For we do not have a high priest who is unable to sympathize with our weaknesses, but one who in every respect has been tempted as we are, yet without sin. Let us then with confidence draw near to the throne of grace that we may receive mercy and find grace to help in our time of need. This then is how our God relates to people. He knows them intimately, knowing their pains, their temptations, and their fears. He delights in their joys and ultimately desires for them true life. God gives to his people abundantly more than simply providence with their requests or a sense of control amidst their fears. He has given us himself in Christ so that we might become children of God. And this then is how your God relates to you. He desires a relationship with you, for you to trust in him. He desires something better than simple appeasement or sacrifice. He sent Jesus to be born in the flesh so that you might know God. He sent Jesus so that you know that God sympathizes with your weaknesses. He knows of your temptations and he loves you. He sent Jesus to atone for your sin so you might be forgiven and your relationship with God be restored. Your God gives you the Holy Spirit in order that you can follow his good and perfect will. Your God, knowing that you couldn't make yourself go all the way up to him, made himself low for you. So rejoice in the gift that was given to you on Christmas. For he is our childhood's pattern. Day by day, like us, he grew. He was little, weak, and helpless. Tears and smiles like us he knew. And he feels for all our sadness. And he shares in all our gladness. Amen. We continue with gathering our tithes and our offerings. Just a reminder, we have the black folder for signing in attendance. I encourage you to fill that out. And then we sing along with our offering song. Please stand as we confess our shared faith with the words of the explanation of the third article of the Apostles' Creed. I believe that I cannot by my own reason or strength believe in Jesus Christ, my Lord, or come to him. But the Holy Spirit has called me by the gospel, enlightened me with his gifts, sanctified and kept me in the true faith. In the same way he calls, gathers, enlightens, and sanctifies the whole Christian church on earth and keeps it with Jesus Christ in the one true faith. In this Christian church, He daily and richly forgives all my sins and the sins of all believers. On the last day, he will raise me and all the dead and give eternal life to me and all believers in Christ. This is most certainly true. Almighty God, the one born in Bethlehem is the Son of David and the Lord of David, to whom every knee shall bow. Look upon those you have placed in authority, and grant that they would govern in wisdom and justice. Heavenly Father, you love us and sent your Son to be the payment for our sins, so that we would not receive the punishment we deserve. Strengthen us to love one another. As you have mercy upon all who are poor and troubled, so perfect your love in us that we would gladly be your instruments of help in time of need. Almighty God, I thank you that you relate to your humanity through knowing us. Thank you for not being a distant God. Thank you for walking with us in our times of trial and our times of worry. Strengthen our faith and direct us to the way of peace. Heavenly Father, you have given your Son born of Mary to be the Savior of the world. Send your Spirit and abide with us, that we may confess him and remain in your love until he comes again in glory. For he lives and reigns with you in the same Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever. Amen. Together we pray as our Lord has taught us. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory, forever and ever. Amen. Our Lord Jesus Christ, in the night when he was betrayed, took bread. And when he had given thanks, he broke it. And he gave it to the disciples and said, "Take and eat. This is my body, which is given for you. This do in remembrance of me." In the same way also he took the cup after supper. And when he had given thanks, he gave it to them and said, "Drink of it, all of you. This cup is the new covenant in my blood, which is shed for you for the forgiveness of sins. Let's do as often as you drink of it in remembrance of me."
To the world astray.
And now may this true body and blood of our Lord and Savior strengthen and preserve you in the true faith to life everlasting. Depart from his table with peace. Amen. The Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make his face shine upon you and be gracious to you. The Lord look upon you with favor and grant you his peace. Amen. Well, thank you again for joining us in our first worship service of this day. Just a reminder, we don't have any Sunday school or Bible study today, but we do have, as you can see by the balloons, all set up for our 4 o'clock service, Happy Birthday, Jesus. And so looking forward to that. It's kind of geared for children, but anyone is welcome to join for that. And as well, at 7 o'clock, we have our candlelight service here tonight also. A couple other things I want to note. One is that if you have children, there's a sign up for the New Year's for Little Ones, which will be next Sunday. So you can find out more information if you're interested in that in your bulletin, but there's a sign up online for that. And last, I'd like to invite our President Steve to come forward.
I've never been called President Steve. All the little kids call me Mr. Steve, so I don't know. No, I just wanted to update everyone on the capital campaign that we had run. I sent out an email on Friday about it, but we collected over $263,000 in 12 months. And That's enabled us to pay off the entire building loan. So it's an amazing gift from God that's, you know, manifested through everyone here. So it's a great benefit to us as a ministry, and I just want to thank everyone for that and thank God.
Well, I have no more announcements, but have a blessed Christmas celebration. Hope to see you all later today.